Scott O.
I just want to thank you for this sweet Go See Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Go See Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Done. Do you believe in things that go bump in the night? Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. Whether you're an amateur or a professional paranormal investigator, the Night Watchers want you to investigate some of the country's most haunted places. The Night Watchers want you. Already in a group? Perfect. Groups are welcome. Join today at nightwatchers.info. Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. The future of paranormal investigation.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
The Butterfly's Apprentice is a modern-day, new-age story of master and apprentice, reminiscent of Carlos Castaneda. Sorry about that. I'm tripping over What are those in the back of your throat? Tonsils?
Tonsils.
Reminiscent of the end, Don Juan, with new twists on spiritual teachings. The story is about Gabrielle, a young school teacher who has a mysterious next-door neighbor move in named Chris. After becoming better acquainted with him, Chris reveals to Gabrielle that he is a master of wisdom who's been alive 400 years. The website is www.fairpoint.net/tildeicpchad, C-H-A-D.
You gotta go for this whole thing.
Books, the Butterflies Apprentice.htm.
It's gonna be linked up on our website.
Of course, it'll be linked up on our website in our guest section. So, with that, I would like to welcome author Ruben Perez Jr. to Ghostly Talk. Well, welcome, Ruben.
Thank you. I just want to say hi to all of your listeners and thank you for the opportunity and for having me this evening and giving me a chance to be with you guys tonight.
Oh, no problem at all.
Absolutely.
Man. We're happy to have you here.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
The book, obviously, this is quite an undertaking. It's a classic tale. I mean, you've got Master Apprentice, you know, classic tale. We were talking about even Disneyland, and of course Fantasia, Sorcerer's Apprentice, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
It's something that does happen. It's something that has affected, you know, humans since stories began being told.
Yeah.
So here we have, Gabrielle, you know, hopefully hip and young school teacher, and then she just gets, you know, intertwined into this, you know, this similar story. I'm wondering how Chris and Gabrielle get along. how did the story come to be?
I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Ascended Masters.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We've studied a lot of different things, including, you know, New Age and stuff like that. So the Ascended Masters, of course, are, you know, obviously the ones who are at the top of the chain there and trying to guide us all into spiritual perfection.
Yeah, exactly. In 1997, I had read a book about them, and I had never heard of them, but I went hiking with a school teacher at the time. I was working my way through school, and I was an assistant, and for the summer I got assigned to work with this one teacher. She was kind of a hippie. She was middle-aged, and I myself was just going through like a spiritual awakening. I had been raised a Catholic my whole life, and I read the book, and I'll be honest with you guys, I bought it. You know, I bought the idea that a human being could do these things, like you know, hook, line, and sinker. I just bought it. I had no doubts that people could do that, and I never stopped thinking about the masters after I put the book down. Well, about 6 months later, I was in Fontana, California, and I had an encounter with one of these masters, and without knowing, at the time when I was thinking about them, I was putting out a signal, and they picked up on it and responded to it. And so that kind of grew into from one encounter to another over the years. And I was involved in education and special education for, you know, for a few years. In fact, I'm still involved in it now, except I'm not in the classroom right now. I'm tutoring. I'm taking some time off to kind of focus on the book. But, yeah, during these years of having these encounters and kind of learning from them, I had to keep a tight lip about this because, you know, it's not something you can go around talking about. You know that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, yeah, Ruben, it is true that there's a certain amount of people who through no fault of their own, you know, either haven't heard of Ascended Masters or haven't studied New Age philosophies. But but there are some people who can talk about it, hopefully intelligently and with meaning. But what I'm wondering is these encounters that you had.
I mean, you put out by with your with your interest in this, you're developing interest in the Ascended Masters. It sounds like, you know, like you mentioned, that you put out a beacon of some sorts, and this attracted them to that, where that's how you came into contact with these particular things, right?
If you think about them, if you're open to them, stand a good chance of calling them to you. And that works the same with, I know you guys are involved with ghosts, but, you know, I don't want to go too far off, but I know if you think about a demon or if you call out a demon's name, that it's one way of attracting that type of energy to you. And it goes the same way, but in the other way, if you're talking about masters or angels or anything like that, you're sending out a signal.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ruben. I didn't mean to cut you off, man.
Oh, it's okay. It's an energetic signal that you're sending out, and magnetic energy, and you wind up calling them to you. You know, but in my case, I didn't know that until after, and I wound up, it was pretty.
Sounds like you were surprised.
I was very surprised, I was even more surprised when I walked into a bookstore. It was I'm living in Arizona right now, but the majority of this happened. It's still happening now, but the majority of my story has happened in Southern California. But I walked into a bookstore, and there was a former ambassador and former director of the Fulbright Scholarship Fund who was giving a small talk to a group of people. And what he was talking to them about was these highly spiritually evolved beings that are in contact with world leaders and, who are here to help. Basically, he had encountered the Ascended Masters himself, and he was talking about them, and I waited until he finished to approach him and told him that I think we were dealing with the same people, and he didn't act surprised. He probably gets that all the time, you know. But.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, the thing concerning any, you know, as you mentioned, that this law of attraction, right? First of all, I'm gonna step right next to you and say, you know what, this is, I'm with you on this 100%. I think this happens in all different shapes and sizes, Ruben. I've personally experienced things. I know Doug has personally experienced things, which is common everyday folk, right? Where, you know, somebody you hadn't seen in a long time. We've talked about this before on the show.
And then you think about them, or, you know, you start, you know, just something causes something to happen, and it just brings it together.
Well, yeah, like, and somebody you hadn't seen in a while, you know, and wham, here's this person right there. My question for you, Ruben, you know, I didn't plan on getting into so many mechanics of this thing, but I mean, I find it has to be asked. I know in my experience with, you know, all the gazillions of people that I've bumped into and met and stuff like that, and, you know, the thing is like, I've met people before that you know, while I didn't know them, and they were no one, you know, special, I mean, as far as, like, what our concept of special is, right? They were just regular people that I met, but for some reason, just the way that they looked, the way that they, just the way they held themselves, right, Ruben? I felt humbled. I was completely humbled by these people to the point where I felt like, wow, I'm not even worthy to talk to you. You are, like, so intelligent and so well put together that a guy that's broken into pieces like myself, and I know, you know, I'm not putting myself down, but I know who I am, right? That I don't feel worthy to talk to someone that's got their stuff together like you do, right? I'm wondering if this, you know, if these could be those types of people, the Ascended Masters, where, like, you know, I mean, is there earmarks you can look for? You know, I mean, I'm not, like, they're not like UFOs or aliens or something. Like, hey, look at, don't, you know, don't put the light in their eye. They'll freak out. No, it ain't like that. But, like, you know, I'm wondering if it is these things where, you know, if you talk to certain people, then you can kind of go, yeah, okay, there's something else going on there with this person, right? They're not just your average person, yet they come, you know, they may come across on the shell to be that way. Do you follow what I'm saying, Ruben?
Yeah. They're very humble and they have a good sense of humor. And, you know, when you first meet them, you don't really think there's, you know, any, when you see them, you don't think that there's anything really big to them. Then you start talking to them. They don't come out glowing. You know, they come to you out on the street, you know, as average people before they reveal themselves and they're just really humble people, you know. Like, I'm sure that we've all met a person like that in our life, except that these guys go one step further, and actually make this incredible spiritual transformation.
Yeah. What's the difference between an ascended master and a spirit guide or somebody who's attached to you through either love or lottery or whatever a spirit guide would be attached to you for?
A spirit guide, the way I understand it, is assigned to one person. In other words, I have a spirit guide who pertains to my development. Each and every one of us has a guide. But the masters are a group of people who are here to serve humanity. They are, you know, they come from all over the world, and after they make that spiritual transformation, they gather, you know, on their own accord to help humanity evolve in spirituality, you know, through spirituality.
Okay.
They look for people who are open, and, you know, if you fit the bill. I mean, I hate to make it sound like there's certain requirements. I don't think that it's really that difficult. But if your heart's in the right place and your mind is open, they're more than willing. You know, it's attracting a master is not as difficult as really wanting to help.
Well, let's be frank for a second, Ruben. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like, well, we don't want to. You know, this is a special club, and you're not invited, right?
But exactly.
I mean, but no, there are people. We know all types of people. You know, I don't bag on skeptics. We don't try to bag on skeptics here at all. They're as important, like, to the paranormal as the people that believe are important to the paranormal. But look, if you're not open to it, you know, look, you know, I had these conversations with you, Doug, and I forced you into these conversations, you're not a Black Sabbath fan.
Right.
But I'm a Black Sabbath fan. So how, in reality, can I come to you and talk about Black Sabbath, even though I do anyway? It's just insane.
Am I ever going to really get out of that piece of art? No, probably not. It's not my
thing. It's not your thing, right? And if you're a skeptic, you're like, look,
but
I don't believe this.
I can learn about it, and I can appreciate your appreciation for it, for that kind of art.
As far as a black and white example, though, if it's a person that's skeptical about the Ascended Masters, they don't exist. Well, why would they want to come and talk to that person? They don't want. Why would you waste your time?
Right.
This person doesn't believe in what I'm doing or who I am and what I'm about. So why would I want to waste my time with that?
Right. And really, in as with anything, you know, the universe, the marketing people, whoever it is more apt to go after what can cause the most amount of change.
Yeah.
The most amount of change for the good, usually.
Why spin your wheels? Why spin your wheels on people that don't care?
So go after, reveal yourself to somebody who's open to it.
Exactly. You know? So I don't think that's really a bad thing to say, Ruben.
It's not a stretch.
No, it's not a stretch at all, Ruben. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. I didn't want to make it seem like, you know, it's the way you said it's an exclusive club. Or, the requirements are just, to have it, you have to align your thinking with their thinking, and what they want to do is help.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you're into, I mean, we all have personal interest, you know. We all want to get ahead in life and stuff like, at least I think I do. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But if there's a place in your heart where you want to sincerely help, then they're able to tune into that, you know. And they don't always have to make a physical appearance to, in order for you to be, to work for them or to be a pupil. They can do it through influence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't always have to be the fireworks and, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, okay. So,
right.
I'm just trying my arms around this. I really am.
So you had these experiences, right, Ruben? And so that was, that got it, you know, that got it going. You found your path, what you wanted to do, and you ended up telling it in a story about Gabrielle and Chris. How did that happen?
It's a fictional story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all of the dialogue in there that has to pertain with spiritual teachings,
mm-hmm.
those are all dialogues that have taken place. In other words, I didn't make that stuff up.
Right.
But in terms of Gabrielle being a school teacher, I do know a woman whose name is Gabrielle, and I loosely based the character on her. But to a good point of that made up character is based on my life in terms of being a school teacher working with disabled kids. And the character Chris Herman is based on the Count of Saint Germain, and the Count of Saint Germain worked for I believe it was Louis the 15th as a he was part of his court, but the guy was incredible. You know, he was rumored to die in the late 1700s, but a lot of people still saw him after his death, and you know, he had access to a vast amount of wealth, but he didn't really work, you know, and so he was a spiritually enlightened man that towards the end of his life ascended into masterhood. And there have been people in the 19th and 20th century who said that they encountered him. And, you know, again, that was something that I believed in. And in March of 2003, I believe it was the 22nd or the 23rd, when the Iraq War began,
yep.
I had a personal encounter with the man myself. And so Chris Herman is based on the Count of Saint Germain of being alive for over 400 years. And taking this young teacher under his wing, and offering her an opportunity of a lifetime. Now that didn't really happen with me, but that's a story, you know.
Right.
That's where the story comes from, is that meeting. And me running with it, you know, in terms of an idea.
Well, that actually sounds like a lot of fun, Ruben, because you got to take important information, right, that yeah. you have learned along the way, important information. You got to have a little bit of fun with it, and you got to put it in a nice story that people can read and enjoy, yet it still has lessons in it. And that's a very nice way to package, well, you know, something that heavy. I mean, because obviously if somebody tells you the meaning of life, or they're, you know, in a lot of cases the meaning of your life, right, well, that's heavy yeah. stuff. Yeah. It's really, really heavy. Or you know, and it could, you could sit there and write dissertations the size of the Encyclopedia Britannica on it, you know, but yeah. would anybody read it, you know? So, right.
Well, there's
so,
several authors that are doing this, particular set.
Right,
now,
we had right? Decimal.
Yeah, Mark Campbell's one of them we've had in the past, yeah. and there's other people we've talked to, I can't remember, of course, right now, because I don't have a brain cell left in my head, but, like, we've
this
had...
This is not floating in, you know,
yeah,
snot.
Snot, yeah. yeah it's being drowned in mucus.
Last weekend was killer.
But, no, there's a lot of people that are doing this particular style of writing now, where they do have these experiences, real experiences in their life, real,
yeah.
where they do, and they want to put them in a fictional standpoint, where you know they don't have to put themselves on the chopping block. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let's take this idea, these stories, and see how people can will take them without having to put myself in the spotlight. You know, there's a lot
and
of people do that.
And then
know?
Also, it's a very nice way to teach the lessons.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, here's
exactly.
I mean, we've been learning that throughout our lives. You know, reading any number of
yeah.
Life lessons through stories, and
yeah.
it's just a really nice way to teach what you have to teach. I mean, because you can sit there and write a history book,
uh-huh.
yeah.
and then the only way to get people to read it, unless they're interested in history or are looking something up related to something that they're interested in, is to force them to take it through a class. You know,
in 1792, come on, you know, talk to the Queen of France.
Yeah, it's like, oh. Nor.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I mean, if you were interested in that, then of course it would be, you know, okay. But the number of people more interested in this, like a fictionalized story of Christopher Columbus, right, talking to the Queen,
yeah,
you know, something dramatic with,
yeah.
you know, antagonists and protagonists, and you've got your
apexes and climaxes,
yes,
and
you've
stuff.
Got all that stuff. Now that is something that people would love to read. And then
I've had to write, you know what, I've had to, just, I mean, you know,
no,
stop on you there, but just thinking about it, I mean, I had text in my core requirements in college. I kid you not, I had a couple of core requirements, I mean the big ones, the
yeah.
700, 800 level classes where it's like, okay, you need to like, you know, live, breathe, eat, and sleep this material or you will flunk. I was actually assigned fictional stories
mm-hmm.
in these high-level core requirement classes because Dr. So-and-so, why am I reading a story? Why am I reading a manual? A text,
right?
A manual.
How to live your life.
Thick, heavy book.
Yeah.
How to do logistics and all this stuff. Right? he's like, is this a cool story that illustrates all these concepts we're doing and puts them into real-life situations so you see how it really works? Well, that's pretty cool. And, you know,
yeah.
it made the learning a bit easier to work with, like you just said, right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing right there. When we come back, we got to take a break.
That's why I applaud you
totally,
Ruben. As apprentice. But,
let's take a quick
when
break.
When we come back
yeah.
from break.
Ruben, when we come back, though, if it's cool with you, I do, if, you know, this is only if you're cool with it. I want to talk a little bit about these experiences. Okay, I just punched myself. These experiences you had mm-hmm. with this Ascended Master, can we talk a little bit about that? Would that be all right with you?
Sure.
All right, cool.
Fine.
Let's do that. On the other side of this break, we're going to get into that stuff. I need more tissue paper, no spray, tea, and throat lozenges.
Especially tissue paper.
Yeah, we're beat up here, dude. We'll be right back after this. Wrong one. Here we go.
Live on your cell phone. Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Shadow government. Strange rituals. New world
shadow governments, strange
treasures, Planetary Mind
Control. Shadow Government. Strange Rituals. New World Order. Very Treasure. Planetary Mind Control. Corporate Interests. Presidential Assassination. Presidential Assassination.
Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Mankind.
The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. And he can't for it to tear across the face.
It's really scary here. Everything about it is scary. The work in this field, our face, is very important. It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting.
What you're talking about does not think in human terms. It is from another time and place.
Demonology today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Kenneth Deal, Alan Glassell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
We'll be right back. making love in all week long. Yeah.
Hey, it's Wolfman Mac. Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. And it's at Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you got to do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Mac, Nightmare Cinema. Bye. This is Ghostly Talk.
All right.
The home is shooting pain over my left eye.
This is the home stretch, and I don't want it to end, but
this will be one of
two words for you. Neti Pot.
It's yeah, tomorrow. Word. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I don't believe it.
Two words for you, drugstore. Tomorrow. Third word. Three more words. I'll be there. Tomorrow. Fourth word.
But I have a URL.
Two more words. Me too.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm sucking tonight.
URL for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it here, but of course, don't forget.
It's on the website. Yeah.
It's on the website. But for the record, we're talking about the book called The Butterfly's Apprentice by Ruben Perez Jr. The website is www.fairpoint.net/tildeicpchad/books/thebutterfliesapprentice.htm. I know that's long, so there is a link at ghostlytalk.com in the previous guests section for Ruben Perez Jr. and to the book. So,
yeah.
So we're talking about.
To make it easier, you can also just go to Inner Circle Publishing, and it's all there too.
Yeah, if you just go to Inner Circle Publishing's website and do a search, I'm sure it'll come up with The Butterfly's Apprentice right there. Perfect. Thank you, Ruben.
Yeah, thanks, Ruben. Okay. Now, before I break, I just want to get into this more or less. I'm just curious. You know, you said that you've met with this ascended master,
and also that other people, you know, may experience them in different ways. But we're wondering your particular, like, just one as an example. How does it happen with you?
Well, the very first time I've actually met with a few of them, but the very first time was in 97. It was the winter solstice of 97. It was in December, and I had spent the night at a girlfriend's house, and I was taking her to the store early in the morning, and we drove over to this shopping mall. It was like a strip mall. And the parking lot is huge. I mean, it was like a really huge strip mall. It was probably about maybe five or six city blocks.
Wow.
And there was hardly anyone out there. And when I got out of the car, both she and I got out of the car, we were walking towards the front entrance of the store that she needed to go to. And I saw this guy. He looked like a street vendor. He was walking towards, like in the direction where I was going to wind up. And, he was like eyeballing me basically. And, he, in Southern California, there's a lot of Mexicans because they're really close to the border there.
Yeah.
But he wasn't Mexican. He looked like he was Indian, from India.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he approached me, and I told my girlfriend to go ahead and go into the store, and I would talk to this guy. And, you know, I try to be a nice guy and listen to what they have to say, but my answer is basically always like, no, you know, I mean, unless they got something that I really need. But he approached me about some children's books, and it was Snow White and Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. And I flipped through the books, and the drawings were really different. They weren't like the traditional Disney drawings. They were the illustrations. They were the characters. The skin was, you know, it was colored, and they had, you know, if I can say, the slanted eyes. You know, they were they just didn't look like the traditional illustrations. And it really stunned me because I had never seen those books in you know, in that fashion, in that manner. And he was asking me for you know, for me to buy the book for $5 for both of them.
Wow.
And I know it seemed really cheap, but it, you know, I only had $5 on me for the rest of the week. You know, it was like one of those weeks. But so my original answer was, you know, I'm really sorry, you know, and I said, you know, I have to say no, you know. If they had been the original, you know, the traditional drawings, I would have taken them because I was going to give them away anyway, you know. But I didn't think that the kids that I knew would be into them. So I took like maybe two or three steps past him. And I thought to myself, you know, this guy's just trying to make a living. And I turned around to give him the money, and he was gone. And I mean, like, not gone in terms of running away, but he was not there. I took two or three steps past him, and I turned around, and he was nowhere in sight. Now, I mean, we've all seen that in TV and movies, but when it really happens to you, you know, it gives you a face twitch, you know?
Trips you out, man.
Yeah, I was like, but because I had read the books, about the Master 6 months earlier, I kind of had an idea, you know? And I met, you know, a few months later, I met this woman, Gabrielle, and she had a bona fide relationship with these masters. She would channel these teachings, and there are a lot of people who claim to channel the masters. You look at the writing, and it looks like, you know, something out of a science fiction comic book. But her writing seemed genuine, so I asked her if she could pose a question to them. And I wanted to go with them. You know, I wanted to know if they would take me on. And as you can see, you know, I'm still here. So the answer was no. But they did say that you know, referring back to that day, that a lot of people really aren't aware when they come across one. You know, but that particular master. His name is Kutumi, and he in other meetings, you know, in one particular meeting, he said that he was assigned to me, and I asked why, you know, like, why out of the group are, you know, you assigned to me, and he said because in a past life we had been related, that we were brothers. And so that, you know, that kind of like threw me for a loop, I guess that's the saying. But, you know, there was the other master.
Well,
you know, the kind
of, one second. I'm just curious about this, Ruben. Now, you said that you requested that, you know, you go along, you know, they take you with them, right?
Yeah.
I'm just curious about that, and they said no. They said no, you're not going with us. Well, I mean, I'm sure they would say that, but they said, you know, no. But I'm wondering, did they give you any reason for that? Like, you know,
yeah, what was the reason? Actually, they did. They gave me about six pages of why I couldn't go. But basically, it's because if we all have karmic dealings. In other words, we have things that we have to accomplish before we get to that point.
Yeah.
And if you have karma with another person, you know, it has to be complete. And, you know, you got to... you know, everyone comes in with a purpose, and you know, for you guys, I'm sure that part of your purpose in life is opening up people's minds through the show. You know,
yeah.
And so, I mean, I can't tell you that I know everything that I'm supposed to do in this life, but
no one does. I don't think. I mean,
yeah, exactly. But that was part of the reason is that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. But the other part was. Just simply that they have a lifestyle that the ordinary person can't keep up with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they like to party. They like to party. I see what's going on here. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, for them it is kind of like a party.
Well, yeah, I can imagine. But, you know, in all seriousness, yeah. But, yeah, I can understand. Okay, I see what you're saying. Let's just leave it at that. I'm not going to try to make any more jokes.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, so, I mean... The average person, I mean, yeah, this takes time. This isn't something I can imagine. I imagine you could learn overnight. It's not something that you can develop overnight or to come to this level of consciousness or existence. I mean, it's something that, like anything, would take, you know, eons.
Is this a goal for every soul? I mean, is this like your entire goal is to eventually become an ascended master? Or are there, you know, just like there's different kinds of people and, you know, and animals and their little tribes or whatever have different roles and things that... Are there people who are destined for that, for, you know, to become an ascended master, and then there's other people who are destined for other things, or is that the ultimate goal for everybody?
As I understand it, it's the ultimate goal for everybody. It's the finish line. In other words, it's how you come, you know, like, I mean, if you, I guess you have to buy into certain schools of thought, but, you know, in being physical, you know, we go through the process of being, you know, the plant life and then animal and then human and, you know, and then we're into the mind, you know, and then the mind grows and then we go into the spirit. And when we finally hit the end of the spirit mind, that the finish line for spirituality is when you become an ascended master. Now, it's not the end-all, be-all. It's just the end-all, be-all for the people on this planet. There are, and I don't want to go too far into this because I don't want to turn it into a space show, but from, you know, from what I understand, it's there are other environments in the universe that are progressive for spiritual evolution.
Okay.
And I guess that's, you know, but the ascended masters, even though they could ascend further from where they're at, they choose to stay behind to help humanity.
Well, there is something that, you know, we in our notes, and I, you know, like you said, we haven't touched on this yet, and I think it does relate to a certain way. You mentioned Jesus and immortality, as far as, you know, and you said the ascended masters stayed behind. You know, that's the last thing you just said, which is that. They stay behind to help humanity. Well, how, I mean, in relation to the ascended masters, right? I mean, just to get this started, I guess, was Jesus an ascended master? I mean, is that what his role was?
He spoke a lot immortality in terms of everlasting life. And today, when we think about those words coming from him, everyone thinks that it's everlasting life after you die. But he had found that combination of behavior. In other words, he would behave in a certain way. He would speak in a certain way. He thought in a certain way.
Yeah.
That was all leading to that spiritual transformation. And then along with the meditation and prayer, you know, all those things combined in that lifetime, in his life, you know, in that time in his life.
Yeah.
He reached the point where he could have gone into masterhood. Now in the Bible, I would point to Matthew 17, where it's called the Transfiguration. But he really became a master after the crucifixion. In fact, that's what makes him so special amongst masters, is that he didn't become a master before he died. He became a master after the crucifixion. His body was in the tomb, and his spirit healed the body the way he healed other people. And that transformation was so great that on Sunday, you know, on the third day, when the stone was moved to one side and people actually came, you know, they saw him. He had been transformed so much that they didn't even recognize him. But he is a master.
Uh-huh.
He's still alive today, living in the same body that he lived in before the crucifixion. And, you know, he doesn't have the same role in terms of teaching self-realization. When he was in Palestine,
yeah,
2,000 years ago, he was teaching people how to do what he had done. In other words, he was saying, if you do what I do, you can live forever too. He doesn't have that role anymore. Now his role on this planet is to try to save, you know, I hate to make it sound like this because it's so trendy, but to try to save the environment and to try to distribute wealth,
uh-huh,
so that the poor people of this planet have at least the basic needs.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
He's not doing very well.
I always like to use David Cross's example of that, comedian David Cross, who said, you know, he always says how people are so excited that we're going to put people on the moon, right? And at one time in my life, I thought it was really cool. Hey, we're putting people on the moon. This is great, right? You know, I like astronomy better than anything the next guy does, especially in our line of work here. So, we're putting people on the moon. And David Cross always responds with, why don't we try to put somebody in an apartment first? And then we'll put somebody in the movie. That's David Cross, right? So I agree. You know, there are a lot of things that, you know, that need to be straightened out. And, you know, Jesus, for example, I think he's got a lot of help. You know, there's a lot of people out
there. There's a lot of people.
It's, you know,
yeah,
we get on these things. You know, and, you know, you mentioned a second ago, Ruben, that, you know, it's trendy to say this. But, you know, we hear this. We've been hearing it. Yeah, we have heard a lot of people who are working in spiritual circles or working in otherworldly things. It always seems to come back to that sometimes.
Unfortunately, like, though, they've got their work cut out for them because
this
government's
screwed up.
The government is going bonkers, you know. I mean, $4 gas, because where is the wealth going? Well, it's record breaking profits every single
quarter.
It's going
to the
oil company.
Yeah, and it's going to the pockets
moment.
Of the few, per
but
usual.
But that's gonna change, you know, when we get an oil man out of office here in the United States, and, you know, I mean, it'll change.
Hopefully, it will. You know,
hopefully it
will. And, you know, Ruben, I have to say, you know, there are a lot of things that need to be worked out. I think that the playing field needs to be leveled out. Right?
Yeah.
It needs to be leveled out. I'm getting tired. How did this get on a political discussion? But anyway, I'm getting tired of being screwed by the upper 1%. No, it's the truth.
We'll write
though.
That down.
These are the things that, yeah, maybe, you know, Jesus himself, yeah, he can help out with this stuff. Because, yeah, you know, people need to be eating. People need to have a shelter over their head to protect themselves from the elements that are out there that can kill you, right?
Yeah.
These are the basic things. Go ahead.
And just so you know, and I don't want to speak for him, but I'll say this.
Yeah.
There is no religion that any of these masters pertain to.
Yeah,
you know, they're not advocating any one religion. It's the spiritual that the thing that they have, the inheritance, the spiritual inheritance that they have, we all have.
Yeah.
We'll all get there, but we'll get there in our own time. I myself, right now, I don't think I want to live forever. You know, like, I'm okay with the idea of crossing over and then, you know, starting maybe another life. You know, I'm not ready to have all the answers yet. You know, I'm kind of attached to the pain and suffering and the beauty that comes with being a human.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that people reach mastership when they're ready for it and when they want it.
Yeah.
You know, when they want it. And
well, yeah, and Ruben, the whole old age thing, you know, it's a little overrated, I think, too.
you get great discounts.
You guys, no, I agree with you, Ruben. You know, yeah, it would seem to me, to just go and live one mundane path. You know, yeah. What's that all about? What, that's existence?
That's,
you know,
probably why we keep coming back and coming back and coming back and trying it again.
Well, if that's your thing, yeah.
Yeah, variety, you know? And
yeah,
then you finally
keep figuring it out. Keep these. You keep learning and things like that. So, yeah, Ruben, I'm with you on that.
We're at the end of the show.
Yeah, we're at the end of the show. Ruben, hang on the line. Don't leave us, okay? Stay right there.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
I want to say that the book is The Butterfly's Apprentice.
Interesting stuff.
By Ruben Perez
Jr. And it's hard to get your head around. I mean, it's not the easiest stuff to really understand because... We're talking about, like, a lot of things here. This isn't just like, you know, hey, look, a ghost came down the hallway. No, this is, like, bigger than that. This is existence, man.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, whoa, dude, I'm floating. You know, this is a trip, right?
Right.
And, you know, but it makes you think. It makes you think about all these things.
And that's exactly how I will feel after taking my NyQuil tonight to put me to sleep. Actually, I'm not doing that. I'm just using that neti.
I'm going to watch, like, 3 episodes of South Park that'll level me out.
That will help. That will help.
That'll straighten me out.
You guys, I have to thank Ruben Perez Jr. for showing up on the show.
Thank you, Ruben.
That was amazing,
yes,
Ruben.
Thank you, sir.
You. Of course, before that... Thank you. Before that was Walter Bosley talking about, of course, Disneyland and the machine. And
The Disney device.
The Disney device, I'm telling you. Well, that's just amazing stuff. And his book is free. I mean, wow.
Yeah,
don't forget, links to both of these book sites and are on www.ghostlytalk.com, which is our website. I want to thank Jeff Wamsley and all the folks out in Point Pleasant,
West Virginia. Yes, thank all the Mothman people. Thanks for being so good to us.
Yes, and
the LGHS,
our
dear friends, for always treating us like family down there. You are our friends.
Mid-South, what an incredible, incredible convention.
Yes, thanks.
And for any others who stayed at the Executive West Hotel, which I am not fond of at the moment.
Yeah.
Neti Pot. It's NETI space POT. Do a Google search for that. Hopefully that'll clear you guys out.
Well,
you guys,
knows.
Until next week, I have to say thanks to everybody for listening. This has been Ghostly Talk, and I've been Doug.
I've been Scott L.
I'm still sick.
And we'll be back next week.
Ghostly Talk! You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.